Got a nap in at some point today, and I just said a moment ago to Rina and to Mark, thank you first of all. But I just mentioned a moment ago, I guess this is part of the hachana for Kabbalah Satorah. The night of Shavuos, we work hard to stay up a little late learning Torah, so this is a good trial run. And if you fall asleep, I'm certainly mochel and enjoy your nap. Let's start with a story. I brought along a couple of svarim. Let's start with a story from a volume called Sipurim Vahoraos Vavodas Hashem, Shesipur HaRebbe Milubavitch. A story that Lubavitch Rebbe used to tell fairly often. It's a very deep and mysterious story, and I want you to think, what's the pshat in this story? It's a hard story to learn. It's a deep story. Lubavitch Rebbe told the story. I'm going to read it inside. Pam nichnas admor ha'emtza'i la'aviv Rabbeinu Hazakin la'achar Rosh Hashanah. The Mitla Rebbe, the second Rebbe of Lubavitch, came to his father, the Baal Tanya, 1 year after Rosh Hashanah. He walked into his study, came into his room. And his father asked him, in the niggin with which he would speak to his son, which I don't know exactly how it goes, but he says, Barala, my Baral, let me ask you a question. B'ma hispalalta b'Rosh Hashanah? With what did you daven on Rosh Hashanah? With what did you daven on Rosh Hashanah? With what did you daven? With what did I daven in Rosh Hashanah? With what kavana? What were you thinking about in Rosh Hashanah? With what did you daven in Rosh Hashanah? Now the Mitla Rebbe, you should just know, the Mitla Rebbe was such a koach of a mind that sometimes when he'd be saying over Torah, it would be completely silent in the room, so quiet you could hear a pin drop. And yet the Mitla Rebbe would constantly, in the middle of saying Torah, say, shah, 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 shh, shh, shh. Everyone's wondering, who's he quieting down? Is he quiet? It's quiet in the room. The parish that's brought from the Hasidim is that the Rebbe was trying to quiet down his mind because his mind was racing so fast. Such a brilliant mind, such a connected mind. So he was trying to just slow himself down. Talk about a person who could give over Torah chidushim for hours and hours and hours and hours. So you can imagine when his holy father, the Baal HaTanya, says to him, B'mah hispalalta b'Rosh Hashanah, with what did you daven in Rosh Hashanah? What did I daven? What were my kavanas in Rosh Hashanah? V'heishiv, so he responded, Shizbonin b'milim, I meditated on the words from the tefillah, V'chol koma lefanecha tishtachav. V'chol koma, that every koma, that every build, the Pashup Shad, I guess, would say, every person, from head to toe, lefanecha tishtachav, should submit itself, should humble itself, should bow before you. That on the day that we crown a Kodesh Baruch Hu as Melech, we should be able to surrender ourselves to Hashem. But says the Mitla Rebbe to his father, when I was davening those words, V'chol koma lefanecha sishtachaveh, I wasn't just thinking that I should be able to give myself over to a Kodesh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah, the day that Hashem is the King. And I wasn't just thinking that all the people in the world should submit themselves before the King. I was thinking, he says, Bebitul hakoma da'ak. I was thinking about the surrender and the negation of the entire koma, the entire structure of Aleph Kuf, of Adam Kadmon. Now, I'm not a Kabbalist, so I'm not going to try to explain what Adam Kadmon is. I can just tell you it's a very lofty thing. Essentially, what the Mitla Rebbe was saying, not only did I surrender myself to the Ribbono Shel Olam, not only did I daven, the whole world should surrender to the Ribbono Shel Olam, but I was really in the higher realms. That all of the spheros and all of the olamos and all of these spiritual realms beyond this world, all the angels in the heaven, bebitul hakoma de adam kadmon, b'chol hakoma lefanecha tishtachva, that all of the higher realms that none of us really know anything about, that they should recognize Hashem as King. Okay? Sounds good? So he asked his father, and the Mitla Rebbe said back to his father, va'ata abba b'mahis palalta, nu, tati, what about you? What did you daven? What did you? With what did you daven? B'ma'as palalta. What was your kavana? What did your tefillos look like? B'ma'as palalta. V'heishiv Rabbeinu Hazakin. Listen to these words. This is the end of the story. The Baal Tanya said to his holy son, he said, Barala, what did I daven with? Ani hispalalti mashtender. With what did I daven? I daven with my shtender. That's the story. That's the whole story. Adkan. No? Anyone? For the shtender. With what did you give shir? What svarim did I use? I gave shir for shtender. I have a watch and a recorder also. With what did you daven? It's such a funny conversation, no? I mean, this is like a conversation of two fifth graders after Rosh Hashanah, like in school, you know? Like, what did you daven? Like, with what did you daven? Oh, I davened for refuah, someone in my family's not well. I davened for parnasa for so-and-so. I have a relative who's not yet married. With what did you daven? I davened with my machzer, ha ha ha. No, it's like a very childish conversation almost. What was the Baal Tanya trying to teach his son when he said to him, with what did you daven? And the Middle Rebbe said, I can imagine the Baal Tanya also had some Kabbalistic Kavanas. I think that's a reasonable assumption, yes? But he probably also knew some things in the higher realms. And yet he says to his son, with what did I daven? I davened with the shtender. That's what I davened with. That's what I davened over. I was standing over my shtender. It's a very deep story. So I want to try to connect it to Pirkei Avos, the second parak that we learned today, and to connect it to the week of the Svira that we just ended. We know that during the 4 weeks of Svira Sa'omer, during the 7 weeks of Svira Sa'omer, we're working in each week on a different midah, on a different attribute, a different way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with the world. So the first week is Chesed, and we go through various degrees of Chesed. The second week is Gvura. Today we finish the week of Tiferes. We finish the week of Tiferes. Malchus Shebet Tiferes. We've completed the avoda of Tiferes. What is Tiferes? How would you translate the word Tiferes? What would you say? Glory, okay, beauty, splendor, pe'er. Something very beautiful. Right? Sometimes it's translated as balance or integration. And the reason I want to use that translation is because if we open up Pirkei Avos to the second parak, which again, many of us studied this afternoon, Rabbi Omer, the first Mishnah, the second parak, Rabbi Omer, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi taught, Ezehu derech yeshara sheyavor lo ha'adam. What is the proper path that a person should choose in this world? I want to be a yashar. There's almost no nicer term for a Jew at the end of his or her life than to say that the person had yashras. So Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, the great Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, who organized all of the Mishnayos for us, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi taught us, what is the proper path? How do I become yashar? What's the derech ha'yashar? Where do I find the derech ha'yashar? Ezehu derech yeshar sheyavor lo ha'adam. You know what Rabbi Yehuda Anasi says? Kol shi tiferes le'oseha, v'tiferes lo min ha'adam. Let's read the words again. Kol shi tiferes le'oseha, whatever is tiferes, whatever is beautiful, whatever creates a sense of splendor for the one who does it, meaning, in the way the Bartanura, Vadim Bartanura, his commentary on the Mishnah from the late 1400s says, whatever is noach lo, whatever is pleasing for the individual, it reflects well for the person, it sits well with the person, it makes sense to me, it seems right for me, and also, tiferes lo min ha'adam, and it also reflects well in the eyes of others. It's similar, in a certain sense, to ein ani li mili, k'shini l'atzmi man, you have to somehow strike a balance between what works for me, and how other people perceive the way that I'm acting. There has to be a balance of the two. Tiferes is a balance. Kol shi tiferes lo seh, it's not only self-serving, it's not only doing it because other people expect that of me, or, you know, will look at me a certain way if I act that way. It's a balance of tiferes lo seh, it makes sense for me, and it fits with the public perception, which yes, we do care about, because the Torah says we have to care, v'yisim nekiyah me'ashem mi'yisrael, we care, not only what Hashem thinks of us, but we care how people perceive us to be, obviously in a healthy way, in a spiritually and emotionally healthy way. But yes, there's a balance that's taking place here. That's what Tiferes is. Tiferes is balance. Who corresponds to Tiferes? Of the three Avos, which one was Tiferes? Yaakov Avinu. Right? Avram is known for the Midah of Chesed. Yitzchak is known for the Midah of Gvura. And Yaakov is that beautiful blend, that harmonious blend, that tremendous integration of the Chesed and the Gvura, which creates something called Tiferes. Because there's a danger of being all chesed, and there's a danger of being all gvura. Avram Avinu is chesed par excellence, but you know what happens? Too much chesed leads to a son called Yishmael. And that's not something we're too proud of or too excited about. Yitzchak is gvura. It's a very holy midah. It's one of the attributes of God. But at the same time, if gvura is not properly balanced, then it leads to what? It leads to not an internal strength, but it turns into what? Into an attack. And that's the Esav who's known for attacking others. Yaakov Avinu somehow looked at his father, looked at his grandfather, was able to figure out exactly the right blend of the two. And that's called Tiferes. Tiferes is that middle path. Yaakov Avinu is referred to in the Medrash and in the Zohar as Bachur Shaba Avos, the best of the Avos. He's the best because he didn't have any children who went astray. Avram had a Yishmael who he grappled with, Yitzhak had an Esav who he grappled with. Yaakov is able at the end of his life, like the Gemara says in Psachim, on Daf Nun Vav, at the end of a beautiful lifetime, a complicated but beautiful lifetime, the children of Yaakov crowd around his bed and they say, Shema Yisrael, talking to their father, Yaakov. Listen, Yisrael, Yaakov Avinu, Yisrael Saba, says the Gemara. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Just like you believe in one God, all of us, we had doubts along the way. We thought maybe Yosef was the Esav or the Yishmael. But now it's all been worked out, and all of your children are good and wholesome. They're not perfect, but they're frum, and they're nice Jewish people who can declare Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And Yosef is seen to be a tzaddik at this point, and Yaakov is able to look at his life and say, Mitosi Shlema, my bed is complete. The children that I reared and produced in this world, every one of them turned out okay. Now I have to just mention, it's very fascinating, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, who we're learning about in this Mishnah, if you look at some of the deeper Svarim, is seen to be very deeply connected to Yaakov Avinu. Okay, we don't have time to go into it fully now, but I'll just point out that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, the Svarim say, was in fact a reincarnation of sorts of Yaakov Avinu. And therefore it's not so surprising to us that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi's whole mission statement, again captured here in this Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, is what? Tiferes. That's the Midah of Yaakov Avinu. The Megala Mukos even writes, the Megala Mukos is the holy Makubal from Krakow, Megala Mukos writes, in his writings on Parshas Vayeschanan, Megala Mukos says that Hanasi, when we call him Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Hanasi stands for who, letters, Hanasi stands for who Nitzutz Shel Yaakov Avinu. He is the spark of Yaakov Avinu. His neshama is drawn from the same place as Yaakov Avinu. Who needs us to Yaakov Avinu? And therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, just like the earlier version of me was a beautiful balance, a world called Tiferes, the integration of what seems at times to be opposites. So guess what? That's my life statement. That's my legacy. That's what I want Jews to know. What is the proper path a person should walk and navigate in this world? Kol shi Tiferes lo se'a. Whatever is tiferes lo seh, whatever is good for you and good for other people, strike that balance. Find a way to somehow reconcile my personal life and the world around me. And that's not an easy task. That's what Yaakov Avinu's life was dedicated to. That's what Yehuda Nasi's life was dedicated to. And again, this mid of tiferes is what we just spent a week of Sfiras Omer trying to develop and trying to work on. It's beautiful. If you think about Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi's life, if you study, again, just a little bit more about Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. If you think about his life, at the end of his life, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi reflected on his lot in this world. There's a Gemara in Brachos, also in Avodah Zarah and Daf Yud Aleph, where the Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was unbelievably successful, not only in the Beis Medrash, but also in the real world, in the physical world. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was buddies with Antoninus. He had connections with the Roman government. And Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, the Gemara says, and Antoninus were both exceedingly wealthy. The Gemara is darshaning the pasuk at the beginning of Parshas Toldos. Shnei goyim bevitneich, I bet, right? Referring to Yaakov and Esav, really. But shnei geyim, it says, two noble people, two very important people. And the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi lived in a mansion. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi had the best food all year round, the Gemara says. It says that the vegetables and the fruits that, right, cucumbers that you couldn't get out of season, he had them out of season. He was able to somehow get a special shipment. He had everything that a person could desire in terms of the physical world. And yet the Gemara tells us, at the end of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi's life, such a beautiful Gemara in Maseches Ksubis and Daf Kuf Dalet, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi is able to raise his hands to the heavens and say, Rabbono Shalom, not for a second, not for one second, you know Hashem, not my little pinky, he says, my Etzba Katana. Now one bit did I enjoy Olam Hazeh pleasures in a way that was somehow a contradiction to my spiritual life. Not one bit. I was able to somehow put together my physical life and my spiritual life. It's not a contradiction. And when a Kodesh Baruch Hu sees that, and Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi davened, I was able to do it, and I'm asking you, Hashem, allow me to experience my menucha, my eternal rest, as I'm leaving this world, b'shalom. And a bas kol came out of the heavens and said, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, you want shalom? You'll get shalom. You deserve shalom. What is shalom? Shalom is also this integration, this wholesomeness, where again, things that are sometimes in a state of machlokas are able to finally come together. That's what Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi wanted in his life. And that's what he was zochet to. That's the legacy of Yaakov Avinu, And by extension, that's the legacy of Klal Yisrael. That's what we all are trying to do. I don't want to see my physical life and my spiritual life as a contradiction. I don't want to see my time in shul or in the Beis Medrash or doing mitzvos as being different or somehow distantly connected to my life on the train, on the way to work, or at my office, or involved in very mundane pursuits. I want to be able to feel there's a sense of teferes in my life. There's a sense of shalom in my life. Osa shalom bimromav. Hu yasa shalom aleinu. A part that I thought of a couple months ago. How does Hashem begin the Torah? Let's learn the first couple of words of the Torah. Okay? Learn the first few words of the Torah. Bereshis bara Elokim. Bereshis. The first thing you need to know. Bara Elokim. God created. Eis HaShemayim ve'Eis HaAretz. Okay? That's already too much for us to learn at this late hour. So let's cut off a few words. Let's do a little less. Bereshis bara Elokim. The first thing you need to know is that Hashem created Eis HaShemayim. We'll leave the Aretz for later. For another time. The first thing you need to know, Bereshis, the first thing is Bar Elokim Eis HaShemayim, that God made the Shemayim. That's the opening message of the Torah. Forget Shemayim Va'aretz. Shemayim. Hashem made Shemayim. So I ask you, how does one make Shemayim? How did Hashem make Shemayim? Remember Rashi at the beginning of the Torah? Let's go a couple of psukim later to find the Rashi. What is Shemayim? What does Rashi say? Rashi says it's a combination of Eish and Mayim. Shemayim is a combination of Eish and Mayim. So it's very obvious to us, Eish and Mayim, those are worlds apart. Eish and Mayim are not, it's a bad shidduch. You know, Kodesh Baruch is not a very good shadchan. Eish and Mayim, they don't go together. And yet, Kodesh Baruch Hu begins the Torah by telling us, Bereshis, the first thing you need to know. You're going to look at my world, and you're going to see a lot of conflict. You're going to see things that appear to be opposites. But the goal of your entire life, the goal of your entire life is to somehow make a yichud, to somehow l'shem yichud kutcher b'yichud shchinta, like people say, certainly by Sfiras HaOmer and by many other mitzvos, l'shem yichud, I should somehow be able to bring together, Bereshis is the first thing you need to know, Bar Elokim Eis HaShemayim, that yes, it's possible to bridge fire and water. That's Shemayim. Osa Shalom B'Romav. Hashem, you were able to put together fire and water and make a beautiful thing called Shemayim. Hu yasa shalom aleinu. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi on his deathbed says, Hashem, grant me shalom. Give me that sense of wholesomeness, that integration, that beauty that comes from being able to reconcile opposites. The Berditchever, the Kedushas Levi, has a different way of reading this Mishnah. It's the same thing we're trying to explain, but he reads it even deeper into the words. Listen to how he reads it. It's beautiful. Rabbi Omer Ezui Derech Yeshar She'avar Lo Adam. What's the proper path that a person should choose in this world? Kol shi tiferes lo seha v'tiferes lo mina adam. So how do we say Pashup Shat? Whatever is good for you and good for others. Balance. The Berditchever, Kedushas Levi, explains in Parshas Tazria, this week's Parsha, Kol shi tiferes lo seha. Kol shi, you know what you should do? You know how to make choices in this world? Ask yourself. Is this tiferes lo seha? Not for the one who's doing it, but for the one who created me, who made me, la'usah, does Hashem get nachas ruach from what I'm doing now? Is Hashem proud of what I'm doing now? So you'll say, well, if I'm doing a mitzvah, Hashem's proud of me. If I'm learning Torah or saying Tehillim or reading the Parsha, or if I can identify which of the 613 mitzvahs this is neatly, you know, categorized as, then for sure Hashem is happy with me. But a lot of my life is shopping and cleaning and going to work and dealing with regular stuff. So I don't know, does Hashem get nachas ruach from that? After all, the angels in Shemayim, all they do all day is just serve Him. The angels are learning in Kolel in Shemayim. And I'm running around like a person who's trying to somehow put together the pieces of my life. Says the Berditchever, Kol shi tiferes lo seh. You want to find the proper path in this world? Choose the path that gives tremendous nachas ruach to Hashem. It's tiferes lo seh. That your maker says, this is so beautiful to watch. And what is that? What is the thing that is so beautiful to watch? V'tiferes lo, you know what's beautiful for Him? Min ha'adam. You know what's beautiful for Hashem? Min ha'adam. When Hashem sees a human being of flesh and blood, a conflicted human being trying to find our way through this world, and to somehow reconcile fire and water, to somehow put together the pieces of my life that sometimes seem so far apart, and we're able to do it, and we make that right choice, and we're able to somehow bring the pieces a little bit closer together, a little bit more l'shem yichud kutshabrichu shchinte. I want to read a nice piece on unity, on the oneness of our life they're all trying to achieve. You should check out Charlie Harari's new book. Give a shout out to a local. Chapter 4 is all about unity. When he went to Svat and he met him a Kubel, and he asked him, what are you looking for in life? So Charlie starts giving him a whole speech about what he's looking for in life. And the Kubel smiled at him and shook his head and just wrote down on the piece of paper, unity. You're looking for yichud. He's like, yeah, but I'm also... He's like, no. You're looking for yichud. L'shem, yichud, kutshu. That's what you're looking for. That's what everyone's looking for. A life that's filled with the sense of what? Teferis, wholesomeness. That the pieces of my life are able to come together. So the Berditchver, Fraktikasha. So I'll ask you, what does Hashem get so much pleasure from this? Hashem has malachim and shemayim. Srofim, v'ofanim, v'chayos ha-kodesh. What does Hashem need such a human being who is so inconsistent and so irresponsible and sometimes drags our neshama through the mud? What does Hashem need this for? And he gives a mashal. Gevaldik mashal. The Kedushas Levi gives a very short, succinct, and beautiful mashal. He says, imagine a kingdom where some of the noblemen from that kingdom take a bird and train it to speak. A talking bird. A talking bird. Now, I'm not talking about like a parrot that can just say, you know, Polly wants a cracker and hello. Right? I'm talking about a bird that can have a real conversation. A bird who can give a shir and bava kama. A thinking bird. A bird who wants to talk to you about, you know, what's happening in politics and the different public policy. A bird who really has rational thought. So imagine people come and they see this bird. This is unbelievable. I never saw anything like this. This is such an unbelievable chiddush. This is worth seeing. So the Kedushas Levi says, they go and they tell all their friends, you got to travel, it's worth the trip, it's worth the expense, it's worth the travel. And they come see an unbelievable chiddush like nothing you've ever seen before. Come see the talking bird. And the Berditchver ends this very short mashal that he writes in Parshas Tazria. He says, Vanim shel muvan. And the takeaway is very clear. Who's the talking bird? What's the takeaway? What's the chiddush? When the Chiddushei Arim once hosted the Divrei Chaim, the Rebbe of Sanz was just his yahrzeit at his home. The Divrei Chaim was a tremendous, tremendous gon, tremendous posek, shalos and tshuvos, tremendous lamdan. So he says to the Divrei Chaim, as he's about to leave, he says, oh, before you leave, I just want to show you a chiddush. Oh, a chiddush. Divrei Chaim was always excited to hear a new insight in Torah. And he takes him into his study, and he figures he's going to show him some obscure sefer, some chiddush, some essay that in Torah that he's never seen before. A tshuva from a rav. He takes him into the back room. The Chiddushei Arim, the first Ger Rebbe, he takes the Divrei Chaim Halberstam, Schusam Yogin Aleinu, takes him into the back room. And he sees in the back room, amidst all the svarim and everything else, there's a little cradle, a little bassinet. And who's in the bassinet? Who's lying in the cradle? The Chiddushei Arim's grandson, the Sfas Emes. But at that time, it was not the Sfas Emes, it was his grandson, Lebala. And he points to his grandson, and he says, this is the chiddush that I wanted to show you. This is the chiddush. You see this little baby? This baby's going to be a big chiddush. This child's going to be a big chiddush. And the Sfas Emes was a big chiddush. Sfas Emes was a big chiddush. Right? What's the mashal of the Berditcher? Who's the talking bird? Who is this talking bird? The answer is, we're the talking bird. Klal Yisrael is the talking bird. Kadosh Baruch Hu looks at his heavens, he looks at all the Malachim and Shemayim, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, and I'll say this in a chutzpahdik way, but to be malam itzchus and klal Yisrael, Hashem says to the angels, no offense guys, but you're boring. You're boring. Why are the angels boring? Because they're predictable. They always do the right thing. It's like the kid in class who's like, you know, a little too good. The teacher is not going to write a mitzvah note every time the kid does the right thing. I'm used to you doing the right thing. After a while, okay, you're the good kid. It's expected. You don't have a Yetzer Hara. You don't have Bechira Chafshis. You're a Malach who does his job. You say Kadosh, 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 Be'emu, Ve'yira, and it's very beautiful, but Hashem says, I'm not impressed. And then Hashem looks down at planet Earth, and he sees 7.5 billion people. And he looks at a tiny, tiny percentage of that, called the Jewish people. And he looks at an even smaller percentage of that, of Jews who want to be Mekayim Ratzon Hashem. And Hashem says, that is an unbelievable chiddush. There are still people in 2018 who are sitting on a bus on the way to work trying to learn a blot of Gemara. Hashem says, that's mamish, a talking bird. That's an unbelievable chiddush. And that's what the Mishnah is telling us. Tiferes lo seh, you want to give honor to Hashem? You want to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu something to be excited about? Tiferes lo, you know what's tiferes for him? Min ha'adam. Hashem says, I like to see people who are somehow, amidst all that struggle, somehow putting the pieces together. If not all the time, Hashem says, that's okay. But some of the time. L'shem yichud kut shabichu shchintay. That unification takes place. You open up a Nusach Svar Tzitter, one of the first pages usually, and you'll find the passage that's printed there from the Tikkuni Zohar. What does it say there? It describes, very Kabbalistic language, it describes the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with the world. Psach Eliyahu v'Amar Eliyahu began to speak and he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are one, Antu Chad v'lo b'chushban, you're one like no other one that we've known. And it goes on to describe how HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so hidden from the world, yet at the same time reveals himself to the world. Very Kabbalistic. Let's try to make it practical. And then it says, and how does Hashem manifest himself in the world? Through the 10 spheros. Through the 10 spheros. What are the 10 spheros? We'll keep it very simple. 10 different manifestations, expressions of Hashem in this world. It isn't God, but it's a way that Hashem allows us to grasp some of his values. Some of the way that he allows his presence to manifest itself in the world. Okay, during Sfira, we're working on the lower seven. Chesed, Gvura, Teferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchus. We're working on seven different emotional attributes of Hashem. Again, tonight we're talking about Teferes, which is the week of Sfira that we just wrapped up. And then it says there, in Pesach Elio, in that passage from the Hagdamah to the Tikkuni Zohar, it says that the different Sfiros correspond to different body parts. Different body parts. So which body part corresponds to Chesed? No, help me, keep everyone awake. Chesed, the right arm. The right arm. Gvura, the left arm. Tiferes, Yaakov Avinu, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Tiferes, the torso. Right? It says in Pesach Eliyahu, it says, Tiferes, it answers it in one word, Gufa. Tiferes, Gufa. The body, the guf, the torso. Right? The center of man. Tiferes. Why is that called Tiferes? Why is Tiferes Gufa? There's a pasuk in Yeshaya, where the Navi says, Yisrael, Asher Becha Espa'ar, Yisrael, Jewish people, I know you look at the angels and you think that the angels are much more impressive than you, but I promise you, Yisrael, my beloved Yisrael, Asher Becha Espa'ar, you know what I think is beautiful? Hashem says, I'll tell you what I think is beautiful. You, I think that you're beautiful. I think you, Klal Yisrael, are beautiful. Tiferes, you know what's beautiful to me? Splendor? You know what Hashem says I'm excited about? This is from a sefer called Orach L'Chaim by a son of the Maggid of Zlotchev. He says in the Orach L'Chaim, I'm forgetting for the moment which parsha it's in. In the Orach L'Chaim, he says, Tiferes Gufa, Asher Becha Espa'ar. Hashem says, you know what I love about you? You know why I love Klal Yisrael? Tiferes is Gufa. You know why? The fact that you have a body, and the fact that the body wants something so different from your neshama, and there are times that somehow you're able to put those two together, Hashem says there's nothing more beautiful than that. There's no greater fulfillment of what I want for my world. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi on his deathbed. Hashem, give me shalom. Rabbi Yehuda, you got it. You earned it. But Baskel comes out of the heaven. You earned it. Bereshis Bar Elokim, Eish HaShemayim. Can you take Eish and Mayim and bring them together? And if you can, Hashem says, I'm cheering for you. Not the angels. You're a talking bird. You're a wondrous creature. Hashem says, it's an unbelievable thing to see such a thing. And the Orach L'Chaim says, that's the pshat. Tiferes Gufa. Yes, Tiferes comes from the fact that you have a body. The same body that sometimes gets us into petty conversations and makes foolish decisions and gets us into all sorts of trouble. But that's where Tiferes comes from. That's where a Jew becomes so elevated and so precious in the eyes of a Kodesh Baruch. There was a bacher in Slobodka who used to come late to yeshiva. Every morning he was late for davening. Every morning, late for davening. Walking like Baruch Hu time every day. So one time the altar of Slobodka had enough. And the altar called him aside and he said, listen, you know, you're late for davening every single day, like very late for davening. So this bacher turned to the altar of Slobodka and he said, Rebbe, what do you want from me? What do you think I am, a malach? You think I'm a malach? It's hard to get up in the morning. So the altar of Slobodka said to him, no, I don't think you're a malach. In fact, I think you're greater than a malach. I think you're better than a malach. And you know why I think you're better than a malach? For the very reason you think that you're not worthy of the malach. Because your body wants to stay in bed. Because it's hard for you to get up in the morning. It's because that I respect you so much and I'm saying you got to come to davening on time. You're better than a malach. The malachim are jealous of us. Why are the malachim crying at Akedas Yitzchak? They're sad for Yitzchak. They're scared for Yitzchak. I saw Rav Yitzchak of Vorki, a tzaddik from Vorki in the Sefer Shmuas Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak of Vorki says, you know why the malachim are crying? Because they're jealous of Yitzchak Avinu. They said, we can't be Moser Nefesh like this. We don't have a body to surrender to God like this. The angels are jealous of us. Yisrael, Asher Becha Espa'ar, says the Navi. Hashem says, Tiferes Gufa, you've got a body. And the angels can't even begin to wrap their minds around such a thing. Wow. A human being of flesh about 2018 is still getting together to learn on a Motzei Shabbos as if we didn't give Hashem enough of our time today. As if we didn't dedicate ourselves for the last 25 hours to give ourselves to Hashem. We're thirsting for more. And we're trying to overcome that challenge of being tired after a long day and trying to think, planning out my week. And we're getting together from Malava Malka. The Jews should sit together and should learn Torah together and should connect in this way. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, this is beautiful. This is Tiferes. This is the beauty that the angels are jealous of. Imre Ames was the third Gerab. Chedush Harim, the Sfasemis, the Imre Ames. The Imre Ames had a son who we don't often hear about because unfortunately he passed away relatively young. Reb Itcha. He's known as Reb Itcha. Reb Itcha was named for his great-grandfather because the Chedush Harim's name was Yitzchak Meir, Itcha Meir. And Reb Itcha was a very fiery Jew. Very, very fiery Jew. So he once said a very sharp thing. We know this because his brother, the Leiv Simcha, who was the fifth Ger Rebbe, shared this. He said, my brother Reb Itcha once said, when Avram Avinu is sitting outside of his tent, he just got his bris milah a couple of days ago, he's 99 years old, and all of a sudden he has some guests. All of a sudden some people appear to Avram Avinu. So who are these guests? Who are these guests? They're Arabs. Well, no, they're sort of their angels. They're angels disguised as Arabs. Avram knows that they're angels. No, he doesn't. He thinks that they're actually Arabs. No, they can't fool Avram. Avram knows that they're angels. Right? It's very unclear. You learn the sugya over there. It's very unclear. They appear to be Arabs. We know, in fact, that they're angels. Did Avram know? Did he not know? Right? To what degree were the angels acting like angels? To what degree were they acting like human beings? Reb Itcha said a very sharp part. He used to say very sharp things. Reb Itcha said, Itcha, the son of the Imre Ames, Zchusu Yigen Aleinu, Reb Itcha said, Avram's 99 years old. He's already given a lot of his life, according to all the opinions of when Avram discovered God. He's given a lot of his life to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And Avram Avinu decides, 99 years old, I want to dedicate my body to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Bris Mila. I want to mark my body. The same way that a baby Jewish boy on the eighth day, if he's healthy, God willing, right, also marks his body, that my body is going to be different. Tiferes, Gufa. Yisrael Asher Becha Espar. So Reb Itcha said, after Avram Avinu, listen to this sharp line, after Avram Avinu gave himself a bris milah, after he had committed his body to the service of Hashem in that way, Avram Avinu said, no offense to the angels, but you're not any more impressive to me than three wandering Arabs. You're not any more impressive to me than three wandering Arabs. Because I know who I am, as a Jew, as a Yid, with an Hashem, with a bris milah, to take my flesh and blood and to dedicate it wholeheartedly to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the most unbelievable thing of all. And that's the legacy, again, of Yehuda Anasi. Ezu derech yishara sheyavur lo adam. It's a choice we have to make. A choice that we have to make to choose that path of yashrus. Kol shitif eres lo seh. Give nachas ruach to Avinu Shabbat Shemayim. And how do you do it? Tiferes lo? What gives a Kadosh Baruch Hu nachas? Min ha'adam. When a person of flesh and blood says, I'm going to be a little bigger than my physicality, and I'm going to try to somehow reconcile. Osa Shalom bin Romav, you brought together Eish and Mayim Hashem, and I'm going to bring together Guf and Nisham. Let's learn one more Mishnah. Because if you continue in the very next Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, it's a continuation of the family, from Gamaliel, the son of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, taught. Yofa Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz. My father spoke about Tiferes, which means beauty, and I also speak about beauty. Yofa Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz. Beautiful is Torah im Derech Eretz. Torah with Derech Eretz. Right? I imagine most people here are not learning in Kollel, so we can say the real pshat. Derech Eretz means having a job. Derech Eretz means going to work every day. Right? If you're learning full-time, you have to figure out how to teach the Mishnah differently. But the Rishonim read it, Yafet Talmud Torah Derech Eretz. It's good to learn Torah, and it's good to go to work to make money to pay your bills. So Yafet Talmud Torah Derech Eretz. Sheyigias Shneyem Mishakachas Avo. I'm not poking fun, Chas V'Shalom. We need people to learn in Kollel also. Sheyigias shneim, by working hard in both of them, mishakachas avon. It causes a person to have no time to sin. You forget about averus. Why? Because at the end of the day, if my body got its fill, and my neshama got its fill, and the Yitzhar says, come on, let's go out and play, let's go have a good time. You say, listen, my body's too tired. My neshama's too tired. I'm done for the day. So if you stay properly busy in spiritual pursuits and physical pursuits, you'll never have time to sin. This is the teaching of Rabbi Gamaliel, the son of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. But I saw a pshat in a sefer that I picked up right before Pesach, a sefer that was just recently published. We've had some of his writings in the past, a very special tzaddik, the Kisvei Rav Moshe Midner. Rav Moshe Midner was a grandson of the first Slonim Rebbe, and he recorded, passed away in 1929, he records for us much of the history and the Torahs of the early tzaddikim of Slonim. Slonim Chassidus also comes from Kabrin, from Lechovich. He quotes a lot from the Ramosh of Kabrin and the Tzaddikim of Lechovich. And he has in his writings here on Pirkei Avos a beautiful, beautiful pshat in this Mishnah. A different way to read the Mishnah. Ramosh Midler. He writes on this Mishnah, Yafet Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz, Sheyegiyas Shneyem Mishakachas Avon. Again, the Pashup pshat is by working hard in those two domains, those two arenas of life, spiritual life and physical life, you'll have no time to sin. Yigiyas, hard work. If you work hard in both, you'll be able to defeat the Yetzara. Okay, it's a good pshat, a pasha pshat. But he quotes from the Rebbe of Lechovich a different pshat. Shehizir lekayim b'chol derechecha de'ehu. Shlomo Melech taught us in Mishlei Perek Gimel, b'chol derechecha de'ehu. It's possible to know Hashem in everything that I do. It's possible to reconcile the fire and water of my life. It's possible to not live my life as a contradiction. That every single thing that I do can be part of the service of God. Even if it seems superficially like a very plain, mundane, ungodly activity. That yes, even my gashmias. Open up a Shulchan Aruch to chapter 231 and you'll see what it describes there. Eating l'shem shemayim, sleeping l'shem shemayim, the intimacy of husband and wife l'shem shemayim. Everything can be done l'shem shemayim. The most physical activities in this world can be done with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, with Hashem being present. The Kedusha comes when a person is able to take a physical thing and to elevate it. Tell me, what's in the Rambam's book of Kedusha? In the Yad HaChazakah, the Mishnah Torah, 14 books. Yad, 14. The 14 books of the Rambam. What would you find in the volume called Kedusha? Or what would you expect to find? I don't know, holy things. I don't know, maybe it talks about the Beis HaMikdash. Maybe it talks, I don't know, very holy things. The Nesivos Shalom in his essays on Kedusha writes, it's interesting, what does the Rambam talk about in Kedusha? Hilchos Shechita and Machalos Asuros. He teaches you what you're allowed to eat and not allowed to eat. Right? If you're in the mood for a hamburger, because your bodily urge for a hamburger is uncontrollable, here's how to do it. And the other thing it talks about, this is it, the whole thing in Kedusha, in Hilchos Kedusha, the section called Kedusha, Sefer Kedusha of the Rambam, how to eat like a Jew and how not to eat like a Jew, what to avoid. Right? And Isurei Bia. And sexual activity. That's the book of Kedusha. That's the book of Kedusha. That's the book of Kedusha. Eating and marital intimacy, that's Kedusha? And the answer is yes. Tiferes Gufa, yes. That I can use my body to serve Hashem, that is the holiest thing of all. Not just my neshama, that's not a chiddush. That my neshama is interested in God, my neshama is God. That my body can work with the neshama, that is Kedusha. So says Rav Moshe Midner, I'll tell you a deeper pshat in this Mishnah. Yafet Talmud Torah Derech Eretz. If you can take those two arenas of life, again, the learning, the what we would call the things that are, you know, obviously spiritual, and you could somehow reconcile it with what? With your Derech Eretz? With the way of this world? With matters of Olam Hazeh? If you could somehow, what does it say in the Mishnah? She Yigiyas Shnehem. Yigiyah could be a lashon of hard work. But he says, Perish Yegias, Hainu, Shiagia Viakariv HaTorah im HaDerech Eretz Biyachad Bein Hefzik. Negia, they should be able to touch. They should be able to hold hands. They shouldn't be seen as enemies where my body and my soul are constantly at war, waiting for the day that finally they'll go their separate ways. Yegias Shneim, if I can get them to work together, they can make contact with each other. That it's not a struggle. That my Torah enhances my going to work, and my going to work enhances my Torah. That I'm a wholesome Jew in all aspects of my life. David Melech Davin, Shifti Baveis Hashem Kol Yimei Chayai. Shifti Baveis Hashem Kol Yimei Chayai. What was David Melech asking for? To sit in the Beis Medrash all day? I promise you that was not the mitzias of David Melech's life. David Melech was fighting wars. David Melech was running a government. David Melech was saying, wherever I am, and this is how Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch explains it in his Parash on Tehillim, Shifti Baveis Hashem Kol Yimei Chayai. That wherever I am and whatever I'm doing, it should be a Beis Hashem. It should be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence wherever I find myself. Wherever I find myself, I should be with Hashem. I was thinking this past week. Maybe that's the pshat also in Ashrei. Ashrei, you know who's praiseworthy? Yoshvei, that wherever I sit, Beis Secher. Praiseworthy is the Jew wherever I'm Yoshev, whether it's my office at work, whether it's in the Beis Medrash, whether it's Yom Kippur at the time of the Ilah, or whether I'm out at the park, you know, having a catch with a baseball. Right? But Asher, praiseworthy is the person who wherever he finds himself, or wherever she finds herself, is Yoshve Beisecha. I make it into a Dira B'tachtonim, a house for Hashem. And that's where Rabbi Gamliel, the son of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, walking in the very same footsteps of his father, is teaching us. Yafa, it's so beautiful to Hashem. When my Torah and my Derech Eretz are Yagia, when they get together, when they make contact with one another, when they're not constantly fighting, when there's a reconciliation in the fire and the water of my life. So let's go back to the story that we started with. What was the story that we started with? The Mittler Rebbe came to his father after Rosh Hashanah, and the Baal Tanya says, with what did you daven at Rosh Hashanah? With what did I daven? Let me tell you which olamos I was flying in. I was able to lift myself up to the highest of levels, to Adam Kadmon, and I was able to be mevatel the entire koma, the whole koma lefanecha seshtachava. Nu tati, with what did you daven? With what did I daven? Something that certainly Sifrei Chabad, the Tzaddikim of Chabad emphasized, but really what Chassidus is all about. To be able to take a piece of wood like the Shtender and to infuse it with Elukus. That the Shtender should also recognize Hashem. It's not such a chiddush. He was saying to us on Berla, Mitle Rebbe, it's not such a chiddush that you were able to take the higher realms and get them in place, to line them up with God. Try taking things of this world. Try taking something from Olam Hazeh. Try taking a lifeless object like a wooden shtender from Olam Hazeh and see if you can infuse that with godliness. Can my shtender come to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And if it can, then you're really saying HaKadosh. I want to end with one final Torah and one final story. In the Derech HaMelech from the Piazetz Rebbe. The Piazetz Rebbe in Parshas Toldos, and is one of the lesser studied svarim, I think, of the Piazetz Rebbe. He's also a master of mashal. Unbelievable master of mashal. And he writes in a piece from the year Tafresh Sadi, 1930, in Parshas Toldos, he writes an amazing thing. He says, Ba'olam ha'elyon yesh harbe kedusha. In the higher worlds, in the worlds beyond this world, there's a lot of holy things. It's true. V'gam ha'neshama ba'atma sham ikr kedushasa v'tif'ar ta nigla. And when your neshama, which is from that holy realm, and when your neshama returns to that holy realm, it shines forth with clear kedusha. It gives great beauty and splendor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's obvious, says the Piazetz. Rak shesrichim legalus min kedusha zu gam ba'olam haze beguf min ha'adama. But the avod of a Jew in this world is to become a talking bird, to say a chiddush. And what is the chiddush? V'tiferes lo min ha'adam. That's the chiddush. That a Jew should be able in this world. And he goes on and he says, and I'm not saying that the neshama should do its avodah despite the guf. No. He says, I'm trying to say that the neshama should be able to partner with the guf, that the guf should also work with the neshama, be elevated like the neshama. Not that I should just be able to work around my body, but to be able to truly work, yigiyas shneyam, that they should be able to hold hands. They should be close to one another. They should respect and appreciate one another. And he goes on and he says, and I'm not saying that again that the body should just be the background, the levush, the garment with which the neshama moves about. He says, for example, right now, when I move my arm, you'll say, wow, Moshe Tzvi, where'd you get that suit? That's such a cool suit. It's a moving suit. A suit that knows how to move. What's it made out of? So I'll say that's a ridiculous thing to say. It's moving because my arm and my life, my neshama, is animating the suit. What would happen if you walked into your room one day, walked into your closet, yeah, picking out an outfit, you know, and all of a sudden, one of your, you know, a blouse, a dress, a skirt, a suit, a tie, right, walks over to you and starts wrapping itself around you. That, you know, what did I have for breakfast this morning? What was it, my coffee? Right? That's a chiddush. That's a talking bird. That the body should be able to be independently animated in the service of Hashem. Piazetz Rebbe says that's the goal. And he brings a mashal to make his point. Ner hadolek. If you see a candle burning, you see a beautiful fire. So what's it made up of? Coming back to our mashal of fire. He says, Ma yesh ba'esh hazeh, shemenu psila. There's a wick. There's some oil. You light the flame. But now, when you see it burning bright, when you see that beautiful illuminated Shabbos candle, and someone were to ask you, what is that? How do you refer to that? No one in the right mind would say, oh, that's called wick and oil. That's called wick and oil. Oh, that's called body and soul. No. Right? When a person sees the candle burning bright, you say, you know what that's called? That's called or. It's nishafchu le'or, he says. Or echad shemeir. It's no longer two separate domains. It's not body and soul. Right? It's this oneness, it's this yichud that's been achieved on behalf of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So I leave with one final story from one of the other tzaddikim of Lubavitch. And the Rebbe Rashab spent the last 5 years of his life in a place called Rostov. R-O-S-T-O-V, Rostov. And when he came to Rostov, where he was for the last 5 years, 1915 to 1920, he said an amazing thing. He had, in the floor of his home, the floor was inlaid with these tiny little tiles. A small little home, but he had these beautiful tiles on the floor. Not sure exactly where in his home, these beautiful little tiles. And the Rebbe said, the Rebbe Rashab, the fifth Rebbe of Lubavitch, said about his concluding avodah of his life, you know, the last 5 years of his life, living in that little home in Rostov. He said, I'm not leaving Rostov, and he would leave Rostov to the Olam Elyon. I'm not leaving Rostov until I'm able to be Mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu over every little tile. That's what he would meditate upon. He'd look at a little lifeless tile in the ground, on the floor of his kitchen, and he would say, I want this tile to know that there's a creator to the world. Bereshis Bar Elokim Eis HaShemayim. Can I take Eish and Mayim? Can I take a lifeless body, a body that naturally doesn't want anything to do with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and show that it really does want to do something with the Kadosh Baruch Hu? Can I say that Chiddush? Can I be a talking bird? Am I able to daven with a shtender? Not just to daven in the Olamos. So Mirtz Hashem, we've done it already. We've achieved it. We've gone through the week of Tiferes. We know what it means. We've already achieved it. And this is the legacy, again, of not only Rabbi Yehuda Nasi and his son, Rabbi Gamaliel, but again, this is the legacy of Yaakov Avinu. And that's the name that each and every one of us carries. Yisrael Asher Becha Espa'ar. To think about what a beautiful, beautiful thing we're accomplishing each and every day of our lives when we're trying to pull together the different pieces of our lives. So Mirtz Hashem, Halavai, we should be zocha to do such a thing. And as we continue to march through Sfira, when we come to Kabbalah Satorah, when we come to Shavuos, which is the Yom Tov where we don't run away from Olam Hazeh. Pesach, it's kulo matzah. But on Shavuos, we dafka bring the lechem, we bring the shtei halechem. And we bring a carbon of physicality. And we offer karbanos in a way that recognizes the fact that we have a body. That on Shavuos, dafka be'inan lachem, there's a mitzvah to eat, not only to learn. And by the time we get to Shavuos, Amir Tzashem, each and every one of us will have reconciled these disparate parts of our lives and give a lot of nachas ruach to Avinu Shabbat Shemayim. Good to vach.